Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 4th, 2011, episode 111, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday. Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride. Ooh, yeah.
Well, good morning, Jamie.
Hello, Glenn. How are you guys?
Okay. Was it hard to get up this morning after sleeping in over the weekend?
You know, it was just simply because yesterday morning started so great with my husband making me breakfast in bed and bringing
what?
It to me. Yes, I am spoiled. It was awesome. I had French toast. I had a smoothie and I had coffee delivered to me in bed simply because I had to go on Saturday night to dinner with his boss. So he owed me.
I was going to say, what kind of points was he trying for?
Yeah, no, he's just making up points. He owed me big time, so he actually came through with it. That's what I did Sunday morning. So sleeping in all the way to 7:30 was pretty impressive. How was y'all's weekend?
We had a good weekend, actually. It was actually nice here. As a matter of fact, right now it's 68 degrees. I heard that, or actually I saw on your Facebook that it got a little toasty in Phoenix over the weekend.
Oh, my gosh. It was brutal. You know, and it's not supposed to be like that today. It's supposed to calm down this week, but just giving you a little taste of what the summer is going to be. On Saturday afternoon, I got in my car after leaving the grocery store, and I said, oh, let me take a picture of the thermometer in the car. So I posted it, and it said 100 degrees. Then I started the car and started driving, which is usually when it kind of cools off. The thermometer continued to climb all the way to 106 degrees. I snapped a photo at 105, and then I posted that because I thought, are you kidding me? I mean, this is April. We're not even to Rolex yet. It is not supposed to be this hot. So it was one of those weekends where actually Chad and I had so many things planned for outside to in here in Phoenix, you have to prepare for the summer, especially when you have horses. So we're trying to get everything done to make it as comfortable as possible for the horses for the entire summer. So we hung misters and shades and everything. My husband thinks that I spoil my horses worse than anybody, but it's just the way you have to do it.
Yeah, it's good. 105 is getting up there, especially for April. You sure it just wasn't an April Fool's joke? Maybe
God wish it was.
A little joke on you.
Well,
he apparently played a little joke on the Northeast, too, with all that snow they got. So it was just the opposite up there. Actually, it was beautiful here. We were in the 60s, and right now it's 68, supposed to be up to the 70s today. And we're expecting nasty storms this afternoon, so you know how that goes.
Yeah.
At this time of year in our part of the country, they can get interesting, but it should be. And we went to see a movie over the weekend. We're going to do a little review on that later on. It's called The Lincoln Lawyer. So that we're going to talk about that. We went to see that. We went to the movie tavern and we ate dinner and watched the movie. We were the only like three people in there, I have to say, though, because they were also showing the basketball game on Saturday night at the tavern and a couple of the screens. So everybody was there to watch the University of Kentucky lose at basketball. They were expecting all kinds of problems here after a win on Saturday night. Never got the win, didn't have the riots, so everything was good in town after the game anyway. A lot of disappointed fans here in Lexington, though.
A Lexington riot? Oh, that would be such a joke.
Actually, I guess it happened back in the late 90s after they won the national championship. The last time they won, they were burning things in cars and stores and, you know, vandalizing stuff, and it got out of hand. So they were ready for it this time, but to no avail, they ended up losing by 1 point.
But see, this is a theme for you guys, because here you are, you're in a movie theater, you're the only people there because the entire city is watching the basketball game, and last weekend you were at the rodeo, and you were the only people in the rodeo because everybody else is watching the basketball game.
And I can honestly say, and I'm happy to report, that we didn't watch one hoop of basketball. We didn't watch them dribble one ball. I'm very happy to report that. Hey, Jennifer, what's coming up on the show today?
On today's show, we've got lined up for your morning diversion a little visit from Leslie Hubble of the Exceller Fund. She is going to bring us up to date on what equine movie star Rich in Dallas is up to. That is after his 15 minutes of fame playing Seabiscuit in the movie. It wasn't just, you know, rest on your laurels for Rich in Dallas. He's up to some more good stuff. So we're going to catch up with Leslie on that one. And then we have our Monday News Roundup, a new specially dedicated bit of the broadcast time where we will focus on the most important, timely, relevant, notable, outstanding, and idiotic stories of the weekend.
Well, I got to go for some new stories.
Maybe mostly idiotic.
I did, Jamie, nobody said they had to be relevant. Nobody told me that. So.
I'm looking over the list right now. I think I need to maybe step mine up a little bit. new segment today called. What are you calling it? The weekend roundup.
I'm calling it the weekend roundup. Yep, that's what we're calling it. And, you know, what's happened is we always had a couple of guests on Mondays, and we never had time to get to all the news stories that piled up over the weekend. So we decided we're only going to do one guest on Mondays, and then in the 10 o'clock hour, we're just going to do our weekend roundup of all the crazy, wacky stories that we found, or fun and interesting horse stories that we found from the weekend. So we're just going to do that every Monday at 10 o'clock now. So we're just changing things around a little bit on Mondays to give Jamie and I more time to chat about the news of the weekend.
If you actually want to hear it, we'll keep you up to date.
if not, turn the show off after the song. That'd be good. All right. I wanted to do our first daily Winnie today. A big happy birthday goes out to Mary Lawrenson, who is a part-time co-host and dressage star, young and upcoming dressage rider from Boston, Massachusetts. And she had her birthday over the weekend, and she is right now, I thought we would call her live on the air. But apparently she drove for like 22 hours yesterday bringing her horses home from Florida, and I figured she might still be in bed and not be so happy if we called woke her up. So, Mary, happy birthday, and hope you hear this when you eventually get around to listening to the show. We appreciate you helping out over on the Dressage Radio Show. And also, she does tips for me on Horse Tip Daily and has been on this show, too. I have a second one. Well, the second one goes out to Susanna and Nathan Elliott, friends of ours that we got to know during the World Equestrian Games that live right here in Nicholasville. Worked with her quite a bit during the World Equestrian Games, and she made an announcement on Facebook over the weekend that she is 3 months pregnant, and they are going to make terrific parents. We're very excited for them. So congratulations to Susanna and to Nathan.
Yay!
Did you have any?
Yeah,
you got one? There.
I just really like to hear that song in the Winnie. But I do have one. Shauna Kroll, Wildfire, raced again and won in 157 and fourth. So it's apparently a new lifetime mark for Wildfire. Of course, Shauna is one of our regular listeners who has standardbred racehorses, and she's always kind of keeping us up to date on Wildfire and her racing prowess, if you will. So big winner, shout out, Daily Winnie, Shauna, and Wildfire.
Yay, good job, Shauna. She actually IM'd me, it was either late one night or early one morning, and she was so excited. So we're very happy for her. I know she works hard with the racehorses down there in Florida. So good job to Shauna. Nice work. Hey, I posted, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but on Sunday I posted a new helmet cam that was out. Only this isn't a cross-country rider doing a cross-country course. It was from Jan Hamilton. Her name is actually Janet. But she's one of the youngest new up-and-coming stars in the world of driving in Florida, and she was driving the marathon course at the Live Oaks. If you remember right, Mike came on and gave us a report about the Live Oaks at Chester Weber's farm down there in Florida. Well, she did a helmet cam while driving her horse through the obstacles, and it gave me goosebumps. I just love this. It also gives you an appreciation for how fast and how crazy they are going through these obstacles. And her dad is actually the navigator. He stands on the back and does the wild, crazy thing, and you'll hear him during the whole time. But if you haven't gotten the chance to watch that, go to our Facebook page and just scroll down a little and check out the Jan Hamilton at Live Oak 2011, her helmet cam. It is pretty cool. Did you get a chance to watch it at all?
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now. First of all, you're right. That farm is spectacular. There's a massive amount of spectators in this whole thing. And I don't know. I mean, as far as navigators, they need navigators because this is so confusing. I see where they have to go. How do they do that? But this would also make the most phenomenal cross-country course, galloping through the woods like this. Oh, my gosh, it'd be awesome. I definitely go out and watch it. It's very exciting, and I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, and, you know, they go through these obstacles, and they'll be, what did he say, up to five or six gates in an obstacle. And when you see them going through these, I said to Jennifer, I couldn't do it. There's no way I could remember seven or eight obstacles. There's no way I could remember all those gates on every obstacle. I'd be lost the whole time.
I know.
I'd be lost getting between the obstacles, let alone getting through the obstacles. And then they go like they fly through those obstacles. I mean, they just fly through them. And she apparently had the best time of anybody going through the fastest time from all the competitors through the marathon course. So you want to check that one out. It's pretty good. We're going to try and get her on a future show here. I've sent an email to her. So sounds like it's something. If you haven't ever seen it before, you should watch it. And watch it with the sound on because you'll hear her talking to the horse the whole time. And I don't know if she has cues. I want to ask her if some of those were cues for left and right or if she was just encouraging to move on. I'm not sure, but it was fun. Hey, something else too, Jamie. I posted on Facebook, we're considering trying to get together at Rolex, the first ever sort of Facebook meetup.
Uh-huh.
So I posted on our page for people to let us know if they're coming to Rolex, and we're going to see if there's enough people coming and enough interest to maybe all get together at lunch one day or something, or all get together someplace at the park and meet each other. So I'm working on that now. And we just put out a call for people, and I see that Patricia and Mary both said that they'll be there, so we're going to see how many we can get together.
I said I'll be there, too. I just posted.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hope so. I hope so.
Yes, I will. I will be there. Hey, is this really bad that I was looking through the news, Glenn, and I was trying to find articles to talk about on the show today, and one of the headlines was, photos of the Queen needed. And I'm thinking, I clicked on it because I was thinking, well, obviously there's photos needed of Zenyatta, and I wanted to look through the photos that they have of Zenyatta. And it was actually photos of the Queen, like the real Queen. But that's how bad I am. Is that
as in Elizabeth.
Yes, in like the real Queen of England. So I'm just like surfing through and I'm like, photos of the Queen. Oh, where's Zenyatta? And then there's picture of a woman, you know, all dressed up, standing next to a wall. You know, I was like, that's definitely not Zenyatta.
You know, why would they need pictures of the queen? You would think that they would have enough pictures of the queen, that there'd be lots of pictures of the queen.
Yeah, here, I'll find out why. I closed it out, but apparently they need pictures of the queen at equestrian events, which is why I found this. They're trying to do some sort of thing with her and supporting horses or whatever. All I know is it doesn't matter because it wasn't Zenyatta. It was the queen, like a real queen.
Well, Jennifer, still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, so let's chat. Let's do our movie review here quick. We went to see, this movie has nothing, let's preface this, it has nothing to do with horses. There was not one horse in the entire movie, thank God, because it really wasn't needed and it would have been bad if it was. So let me just start with, Matthew McConaughey is not always my favorite actor. I don't know, what do you think about him, Jamie?
Oh, good Lord.
He usually plays in chick flicks, though. So I guess that's why he's not one of my favorites. But
it doesn't matter. He's so good looking. I promise to tell you the story after you're done, or I can tell you now, of my Matthew McConaughey stalking. I might have stalked Matthew McConaughey.
Hold that story. Hang on for that story. Everybody, hold on, and we'll hear how Jamie got in trouble stalking another celebrity.
I never got caught, okay?
You never got caught. Well, that's good. We're glad to hear that.
In other words, there are still outstanding warrants?
Listen, it's not important.
Right, in Arizona.
Well, honest, I found him. And it's over 90 days, so I should be released. It's over.
Anyhow.
So the movie was pretty good. It's called The Lincoln Lawyer. It had Marissa Tomei played the supporting actress in this movie, and she was really good, too. I would say overall this movie was very well done. It's about a lawyer who basically runs his law office from the back of a Lincoln Continental town car. And in L.A., and he takes cases for, you know, he takes cases of the guilty and tries to get them off. He's a defense lawyer. But he ends up in this one case where he gets set up, and I'm not going to give away the whole plot or the end, but he gets set up by this one defendant, and the story is about him trying to get through this whole case, and it gets more suspenseful as it goes. Let me tell you, this movie has more twists and turns than a Grand Prix dressage test. It takes you places and keeps you at the edge of your seat. He is terrific in this movie. He did a very good job in this movie. I think there was probably, only one kissing scene in the entire movie. Thank God it wasn't his usual chick flick. But we came away, and anybody that doesn't have one of these is, you're missing out, is the Movie Tavern. It's a place that we have here in Lexington, and they're all over the South in Texas, not so much in the North and Northeast. But you can go eat dinner, get drinks, sit there in these big, cushy office chairs at the table and watch the movies on the big screen. And it's just a fun way to do it. And it was good. I mean, I really, really enjoyed this movie. Jennifer, what do you have to add to that?
Let me think. Well, you know, if you don't like Matthew McConaughey because of the types of movies he generally does, go past that, because this movie is nothing like what he usually does. If you do like Matthew McConaughey because he's really easy to look at, obviously go, because he's still really easy to look at. But this was kind of a sleeper. You really didn't hear much good press on it. You just didn't. Matter of fact, the review we read on it wasn't even a review of this movie. The critic went to see Hop, and Hop was so bad. All he had to say about Hop was, "This is so bad, I was embarrassed, I never want to see a movie again." And then the rest of the review was about The Lincoln Lawyer. So it's kind of a sleeper. So if you need something to get you awake because you have to work the night shift, go watch this movie, because you won't be able to go to sleep for about 4 hours afterward. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
wow, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So is it kind of like A Time to Kill, where he played the lawyer in the John Grisham novels, and he's defending the guy who killed the people. Gosh, what was the name of that? Anyway, his name was Jake Burgance, and he was in this movie with Sandra Bullock and also Samuel Jackson. That's who he was.
I don't think I saw that one, but I'll tell you the one thing this one does is it is suspenseful, and it takes you – there are just twists at every part of the movie. I mean, it just keeps twisting and turning, and you can't really predict what's going to happen. Usually Jennifer is one of those that, you know, 2 minutes into the movie, she can tell you what's going to happen at the end, and it drives me crazy. But she didn't on this one.
I missed a couple of the twists on there, and it was fun because it's more psychological thriller. There's a little bit of car chase, and I don't think anything blows up. So that was fun, and the screenplay was nicely done. It's based on a New York Times best-selling novel, if I remember right. So they had a good storyline to start with. But I think Jamie, you're probably right. It's going to be in that same genre as Grisham. It's, you know, the good cop, bad cop kind of a storyline.
Good deal.
So we're giving it out of 6 flakes. We're giving it 5 flakes. We really like this movie. So
5 out of 6 flakes. Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because we actually were trying to go to a movie last night too, and just I couldn't find anything that I really wanted to go see. But I read about this one, but just kind of was like, Matthew McConaughey lawyer movie. You know, it's probably okay. But now I want to see it.
There you go, The Lincoln Lawyer. Go see it. 5 out of 6 flakes for Jennifer and I.
All right. Moving on, right past that Matthew McConaughey story to, let's see, anything else we can talk about?
Did you see, you guys found this disturbing. I found it just fascinating. Did you see Fran Yerga's post on Facebook about the little tiny, itty-bitty, wee miniature horse foal foot that her farrier was doing?
Yeah, I think it's kind of gross. You posted it. You can post it online. I don't know. It just looks like I actually thought he was holding it like a half almond, like almond slice, you know. And it just seemed weird to me. I don't know. It's gross.
It's about the size of what? A little bit bigger than his thumbnail. It is a tiny little hoof. And I loved how Fran thought it pertinent that she put in that it was a live miniature horse foal, and I was really glad of that. I was really glad of that. Oh,
you'll have to.
You forgot about your stalking story.
What? No, I was going to talk to you about the hoof.
No. Matthew McConaughey. You were stalking Matthew McConaughey. You didn't tell your stalking story.
I thought we had moved on past the Matthew McConaughey story. I thought we were going to talk about Tobey Maguire later today. I thought that was funny. During the filming of We Are Marshall, which was filmed, you know, it's that football movie about, I'm so bad with colleges and stories, but it's a Marshall University football team, and he becomes the new coach. Matthew McConaughey becomes the new coach after the plane crash and all. Anyway, they filmed this with Matthew McConaughey and Matthew Fox in Atlanta while I was living there, and I happened to be on a radio station that was really trying to get Matthew McConaughey to come on and be on the show, and he wouldn't. There was no way after we had talked about him on the air so much that he was going to come on our show. Never did. So I figured I would just find him. And just this is, again, way before I met Chad, but I thought if I found him, obviously he would fall in love with me and we would live happily ever after. Because that's what women do. We think that obviously Matthew McConaughey just has to see me and he will look at me and he'll be like, oh my God, you're the one I've been waiting for. I know that you're dating Penelope Cruz right now and she may be cute or whatever, but she's clearly no match for me. I don't know who he's dating now. I think he got married and had babies or something. Anyway, so we had gotten word that he was living, because when he travels around, he actually sleeps in an Airstream trailer. He doesn't stay at, like, the Ritz, or he doesn't stay at, you know, any fancy hotels. He actually camps out in an Airstream trailer because he's just kind of crunchy
that.
Like that. Yeah. It's interesting. You probably wouldn't know unless you've stalked him in his Airstream trailer. So I might have found out where his Airstream trailer was parked. And along with another girlfriend of mine who owned a canoe, we might have canoed on the lake of where the Airstream trailer was parked. And then we canoed by where the Airstream, we found it, and we docked and had lunch outside the Airstream trailer about 50 feet away, and very inconspicuously, I'm sure. Just pull up our canoe. Two girls looking at an Airstream trailer facing the trailer as it was parked. And I did find out where he was. I found the trailer to no avail, though. Matthew McConaughey was not home that day. Although we did not knock, we were very close to knocking on the door of the trailer. But we didn't, and I swear we did not go back at all after that to try to see if we could find Matthew McConaughey. Nope. Didn't try again. Let's move on.
Okay. We have on the line with us from our title sponsor today, Omega Alpha, we have Patty on the phone. Hi, Patty.
How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Pretty good. I was catching the end part of Jamie stalking Matthew McConaughey. That I'm going to have to go back and listen to that now.
Patty, please don't pull your sponsorship. Dear God, we need the money.
No, I was going to give you a list of who I'd like you to stalk.
Oh, who would you like me to find, Patty? Because by God, I'll find them. I'll canoe, Pat. I don't even like water, okay? And I canoed down a freaking lake to find this guy, okay? So it can be done. I will find him, whoever he is.
I'll make a list.
Sounds good.
Speaking of stalking, Patty, we're going to be stalking you at Equine Affair in Ohio this week. You guys are heading out there with Omega Alpha, right?
Well, Sue Schroeder from our U.S. division is going to be down handling that show. April is turning into the insane month. So, it's getting a little crazy. But Sue will be at, apparently it's the Bricker Building, and we have booth 905, so we would love to have people come out and visit and get some product knowledge and, product info, and we've even got some coupons, which is really nice, that they can probably redeem right there at some of our retailers.
Give me some coupons, Glenn. I need coupons.
Okay. All right, I'll get you some coupons. So that's the Bricker Building, 905. Jennifer and I are actually going out Friday and Saturday. We're going to spend the day out there, so we'll be sure to stop by and say hello to them.
That would be great because, they'd love to see you, and this is the first time we've had a chance to do that show. So come one, come all, and come and visit and come see what we can do. Some of the other things that we're doing for the rest of this month is we're also working with this is up here in Campbellville area, is the John Lyons Clinic. So that's going to be kind of fun because that puts a different hat on because we're so used to dealing a lot with the English discipline. So this guy is America's horseman, and he does a lot in the Western discipline. So I'm very looking forward to that one. And then right after that, I think we have, or at the same time, the Midwest Horse Fair. And then there's Rolex. So it's just it just rolls one into the other. So it's going to be busy, but it's going to be fun.
So you guys are going to be down at Rolex?
Yes. I have two full booths because one of them is at the main pavilion there for where the eventing is. And then there's another event going on. It's raining. And it's right at the same time. And it's up in the new pavilion where they put in just for all the raining disciplines. Remember when Wegg was on?
Yep.
So we've got a booth up in there, too, and then I believe that we're doing a satellite booth in with Bit of Britain. So it's going to be crazy, and I'm looking for anybody who wants to come and work the booth, too. I'm out trying to find some local people from maybe Kentucky that will come and help us out and work there, and I'll make sure that I give them cross-country day off.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you get people to work in your booth.
Yeah. Please come help us. You'll learn a lot, I guarantee it.
Well, we'll be there, of course, doing our. We're going to be doing the morning show live all Thursday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be live there, and Chris will be doing the Eventing Radio Show in the evening every night. So we'll be sure to stop by and say hi to you there at Rolex as well.
Yeah, Dr. Chang will be there, so that's good. So he's one person I can still coerce into working there.
He has to do what you say.
Pretty much. He's good at that. Yeah, his wife has him trained very, very well.
Well, that's we're talking to Patty from Omega Alpha, and, of course, you can find all of their products at omegaalpha.ca. And you can find them at Equine Affair, as she said. They're going to be in the Bricker Building in booth 905 this coming weekend. And well, we're going to be sure to stop by and say hello there as well. Equine Affair is a large place, a lot of buildings, and it's good you got the name of the building because sometimes the booth number doesn't help much.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a chance to see it. It just doesn't fit into all the things that are pending here right now. Oh, on another note is we have a great Facebook contest going on right now, too, on our Omega Alpha Equine page. So there's two winners drawn every Friday for the whole month of April. And so if they go on and post a little story on there, we will do a random draw every Friday for two winners for a spring detox pack for themselves and their horse.
All right, and that's it. You just search for Omega Alpha Dash Equine on Facebook to find that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a dash in there. It's just Omega Alpha Equine, and if you put that in the three words, it usually pops up in your search on Facebook.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you, Patty. We appreciate you calling in.
Thanks. Have fun, guys.
All right. See you.
Thanks, Patty.
Bye.
All right. Well, I think continue thanking Omega Alpha. I thought when you were talking about that, I saw Patty had called in, and I went, oh, same thing you probably thought, too. It was like, oh, geez, she's going to hear us talking about you stalking Matthew McConaughey, and they'll be withdrawing their advertising tomorrow. And instead, she has a list for you.
Yeah, I can do it.
There's a new business.
I will find those people.
You could
people.
Be a third stalker.
I should work for TMZ because I will be on a celebrity watch. If I drive over to L.A. to visit Chad's brother or something, all I do is look in the windows of cars and look for celebrities. Every restaurant you go to, everything. It's like you're at a Texaco outside of L.A. I'm like, oh, my God, is that Matthew McConaughey's brother? I don't know why I do it. Oh, well, who cares? Well, we have our first guest on the line, our second guest, Ashford, behind Patty. And this is Leslie Hubble, who, do you guys remember a story we did a little while ago about a horse named Rich in Dallas, who, as we all better know him as, Seabiscuit. And Seabiscuit went to go live at a boy's home, and I'm trying to remember where the home was. Anyway, not important, a Tulsa boy's home, and Seabiscuit went and lived there, and it's the Seabiscuit from the movie. So let's say good morning to Leslie. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, I'm stumbling through this simply because I don't know if you're the owner of Seabiscuit. Are you the handler? Are you just with the Tulsa Boys Home? First of all, tell us your connection with the horse.
Okay. I am actually a volunteer for a group called the Acceler Fund, which helps off-the-track thoroughbreds. And this horse, Rich in Dallas, belongs to the Acceler Fund. Okay. He was donated to the Acceler Fund. After he was in the movie, he went back to the racetrack in Southern California, was running at the very, very bottom in what we call cheap claimers, and he was claimed anonymously. The gentleman didn't want his name out there and was retired and given to the Acceler Fund. So he was actually flown from California to Lexington, Kentucky. Okay, he's been at the Kentucky Horse Park. He's gone on then to Virginia with a family there who was, I'm going to call him his adoptive family, and basically the guy was helping, it's Paul and Kelly Lynn, and he became his, I'm going to say his new family and his trainer, and he promoted Rich in Dallas for the Acceler Fund, you know, as an off-the-track thoroughbred, and Rich in Dallas has appeared, as you're talking about, Equine Affair, He's been to multiple equine affairs as far as a guest of honor. He's visited a children's hospital in Virginia. He's been to the New York horse show. He's been in a horse show. He's done about everything under the care of Paul and Kelly Lynn, and still owned by the Acceler Fund. Well, Rich in Dallas is 16 years old now, and kind of to the point where he didn't really need to be hauled all over the country for his guest appearances. And so we kind of discussed it, and Paul and Kelly, and we said we have a perfect opportunity for him to be a therapy horse at the Tulsa Boys Home. And the Tulsa Boys Home is a state-of-the-art residential treatment center for teenage boys. They have an equine program there, which is an equine-assisted psychotherapy program, and they do some horsemanship sort of as a bonus on the side. And we just thought it was the perfect venue for not only for the horse, where he would continue to be helping people, but what a great opportunity for the kids. And so we said, hey, would you like to, you know, have this horse in your program? And again, he's owned by the Acceler Fund, but we call this his latest gig as far as a new job for him. And so we shipped Rich and Dallas along with his pasture companion from Virginia to Oklahoma, and he had a delivery there. We delivered him to the boys' home. He was front page news story in the Oklahoma newspapers. He was on the television, and he's actually going to be having his public debut here at their big fundraiser called Run for the Roses on May 7th, and he will be presented then in all of his movie attire so that the patrons can have their picture taken with him, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a win-win situation. It's the kids are thrilled to have this horse there, okay? And at the same time, what a great place for this horse and his companion to really have kind of a cushy job and yet, you know, be very useful still. So anyway, he's an Acceler Fund horse, just on a new career, another career. He's had lots of careers.
This is amazing. So let's start back at Rich and Dallas, or Seabiscuit, as I'm going to call him for the entire rest of the interview. Seabiscuit is a racehorse. Then he gets picked up to be in the movie, and he does the whole movie. Now, what scenes was Rich and Dallas actually in?
Okay. Yeah, Rich and Dallas, they actually used about 11 horses in the movie, okay?
Right.
And Rich and Dallas was the horse that made the very famous scene of Seabiscuit running through the woods, and the trainer
says,
you know, how far do you want to take him? And he says, till he stops. All of that footage of with Tobey Maguire riding the horse through the woods is Rich and Dallas. His other scenes were that he is in all the acceleration scenes where he's with a little sprinter at the track, and so they would set this horse up, and as you see Seabiscuit passing horses around the corner, that's Rich and Dallas, okay? So he played some significant scenes in the movie, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we consider him sort of the star, even though, like I said, 11 different horses played Seabiscuit, and they were selected because they exemplified him. He's not very big. He's basic bay. He doesn't have any white. He's what we call a little brown horse. And like I said, they selected these horses so that they, you know, they had a certain look about them. And like I said, then after he made the movie, he went back to the racetrack. And
well, I'll tell you what, though, I got goosebumps because that scene that you described in the woods there, that was the defining scene in that whole movie.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the scene everybody remembers. So, you know, he did get the starring role, the starting scene in there.
Absolutely.
Truly is the one that that everybody remembers.
Yeah. And so, he's – go ahead.
I was going to say, after all that, after being in the movie, and obviously he had an owner – throughout the filming of that, then they took him back and re-raced him in, like, bottom-of-the-barrel claimers?
Yeah, you know, I don't quite understand the sequence of, I think the horse was selected for the movie back, I think he was running at Mountaineer Park, okay? Shows up, makes the movie, and then ends up, and I don't know whether the horse was sold, had different owners, but ended up, like I said, running in, you know, what we call bottom of the barrel claimers out in Southern California, you know, for $2,500 claiming tag at Los Alamitos. And the horse has had, Rich in Dallas, has had 69 starts, and that's, we call that a racing warrior. I mean, and he's sound. Okay, he's so he's had 69 outs. He made a whole $73,945. So, like I said, he's just a hard knocking little claiming horse. And like I said, he was graciously, the money was donated to pull him off and retire him with the Exceller Fund.
And there's so, no, and you, the guy who bought him off the track and donated him to the Exceller Fund, the guy or girl, is completely anonymous, wants nothing to do with anybody knowing who he is, or?
I just think he didn't want a lot of, didn't want to draw a lot of attention to himself, okay? He's, I can only tell you that he's one of the racing industry's bigger trainers.
Okay, gotcha. Well, what a sweetheart he is, and I do wish we knew, because then we could cheer for his horse,
whoever
he is. But that's exciting, and, you know, I'm sure that, I guess the next question I have would be, what is the Exceller Fund? How does it work, and how does it help the horses?
Well, the Exceller Fund was created after the demise of the famous racehorse Exceller. He was a international race champion, both here in the United States and overseas, and he had been sent to Europe as a breeding stallion later in life, and the demise of him, it came up, actually I believe the Daily Racing Form broke the story, that he was sent to the slaughterhouse, okay? And that was sort of the, you know, public notice of one of the things that was happening to these horses. And so a group of people, just racing fans, got together and said, hey, we want to chip in and pay a little membership every month, and let's try to help as many of these horses as we can. So it's a 501(c) charity. I think you can find it on the website, accelerfund.org. It's a small, all-volunteer group. Like I said, we have a little membership program where for $15 a month you can, you know, help some of these horses. And we focus on racing warriors, horses that are in a bad situation. We do some adoption horses. We have more retirees than we have adoption prospects, okay? But we do some adoptions. Again, it's very small. We have horses literally around the country. We don't own any facilities. It's strictly a we pay for horse people to care for our horses. We have some foster farms, but we care for about 50 horses. And again, primarily horse, you know, a lot of racing warriors, horses, you know, that truly need retirement, you know, as well as, like I said, some adoption prospects. But it's just a very small charity that helps off the track thoroughbreds. And like I said, you can get on their website and read all about them. And like I said, our executive director, who's a volunteer, she's based in Lexington. Like I said, we have a little group of horses there. We have them sort of all over the country, little groups of them, you know, that are retirees. So, again, it's just supported by racing fans who are interested that some of the, you know, these horses deserve a nice retirement, you know, when they're done with their racing careers. Yeah, you know, so.
Well, I think that's, you know, I had seen you guys at a adoption event here in Kentucky and chatted with you for a little bit, and I think you guys are doing a terrific job. And, you know, and I know it's always tempting when you said you had 50 horses, and I'm sure you would like to have 500 because you want to save them all. I mean, you really do. And that's part of what you guys are. And but you've been very careful. One of the things that impressed me is you've been very careful to take in the number of horses that you know you can handle. And I think that's, you know, I applaud the Exceller Fund for keeping that in mind, too.
It's a very small little group. And like I said, you want to be able to support the horses that you have, you know. And I don't foresee in the future, you know, growing in great numbers or anything, you know. But and we've been very also, we work a lot with, we network all the time with all the other groups, okay. And we've been able to over the years to also provide some little emergency kind of funds, you know, like helping to pull a horse from, say, a kill pen, even if it's just coming up with a few hundred bucks or something like that. So, you know, we try to, you know, like I said, network with the other groups. You know, it's our numbers are small. Again, whatever, kind of a little here and a little there, you know, and like I said, we have
you're all doing the same thing, you know, you're all working towards the same goal, and that is to provide these guys that work so hard, like Rich in Dallas, slash Seabiscuit, who ran 63 times. I mean, gosh, to provide them with a life and a future, and obviously you've done a fantastic job with him, which, you know, what makes me want to know is how can the public help the Acceler Fund? How can we help? Do you need foster homes? Do you need volunteers? Do you need money? Obviously, everybody
always
needs money.
How about all of the above, you know?
Do you really need foster homes and everything like that?
We are always looking for foster homes that are willing to help us out, you know, whether it's on a temporary basis or can you take one of our warriors, you know, can you give one horse a home that we can help with expenses with and share expenses. We're flexible. We're always looking for foster homes, okay? And, of course, all charities, regardless, are always looking for donations, you know, and volunteers, you know. Again, you know, there's just never enough people sometimes to get everything done. But at the same time, I think our foster homes, that is one of our most helpful things people can do if they could, you know, see it in their heart to maybe, like I said, take one of our racing warriors as a, you know, as a retiree, you know. And that's not to say some of our racing warriors don't get adopted. They do. After they've stayed that sound, they're usually pretty sound, you know, and we do adopt some of our racing warriors. But foster homes and donations are probably the biggest thing, just, you know, and there just can't be enough of these charities doing the same thing. And that's why it's so critical that we all work together and, you know, and we do, you know, can you take this one? Can you do this? Can, you know, it's a, that's what makes it work.
Okay, I was just looking
at their website too, and I was looking at horses we've helped, and let me throw some numbers at you here. A horse named Precision Winner, 138 races through the age of 9. Here's Handsome Jolly Jim, 134 races through the age of 10. Now, all of those, put all of those aside, and you have Cumberland Gap, 161 races through the age of 14.
It's really quite amazing.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, we figured up one time we had, a couple years ago, maybe 8 horses total, and we were listed our 8 special racing warriors, and between them they had over 1,000 starts.
Now, I'm online, and I would just like to go ahead and tell you that I would love to take Distant Kid. 68 starts, 4 wins. 68 starts, 4 wins, $41,000. So Distant Kid definitely should have been retired a long time before. Clearly, he did not want to be a racehorse. He's cute as can be. Yeah, I'll take that one. I know that Jennifer's probably on here also looking at adoptable horses.
Jamie, you're not supposed to tell.
Oh, yeah, good try. Like your husband didn't already know, okay? I got a question, too, because it looks like there's several horses that actually went to the Tulsa Boys Home with Seabiscuit, and it said something about Rich and Dallas's friend going with him, Samson?
Yes. Actually, we have 4 horses there. And what we do, actually, we pay a per diem like we would do, you know, at our satellite farm. In other words, you know, we still are paying their expenses on these horses. Like I said, and the idea is that they've got to, you know, we've got to keep them someplace. We would rather it'd be great to have them be at the Tulsa Boys Home as opposed to just standing in the pasture, maybe, you know, not doing anything. So this is a great opportunity. So we still pay expenses at horses at the Boys Home, okay. But Samson was Rich and Dallas's Pastor Powell. He's been with him for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And Samson himself has a story. He was in training at the track. He was considered a rogue. He was basically booted off. His behavior was so bad. And the trainer of Rich and Dallas, Paul Lynn, said, I'll take him, because they were going to destroy him because he had no use. He had some injuries. He was basically a mess. And Paul took him, and he has turned out to be absolutely the most wonderful people, just a delightful horse. And we thought he would be perfect for the therapy program at the boys' home because he's so people-oriented now. And now the kids won't be riding Samson, but he will be used in their therapy program. And so there's a case with it. What a metaphor fits in right with the boys' home. Here's a horse that was basically a juvenile delinquent and considered, you know, not good for anything. And he got a second chance, and now look at the career that he has, and he's a star, you know. So it fits right in there with those kids from the Tulsa Boys Home that, you know, they're looking to get that second chance after having lots of problems. You know, so he fits right in there with Rich and Dallas.
Oh, that's great. And I'm looking here at This Bird Can Fly online, and it says something about the fans of Barbaro helped raise the money to transport him to his foster home. Tell us about that.
You know, a lot of times, like I said, when a horse is in trouble and needs to be pulled or moved or go from, you know, like I said, he might be in a bad situation and he needs to be transported to safety, these are very expensive costs. Okay, the transportation. Sometimes we can get, you know, lucky and get a cheap ride or a free ride, but the transportation is very expensive. So obviously, this Bird Can Fly, he was brought to the attention on the internet, the forum, you know, the Friends of Barbaro forum, that, hey, the Acceler Fund's going to take this horse, but we need help with his transportation. So people donated and helps pay the bill to move the horse to safety. And so that's part of that networking thing that said, hey, we got this horse in trouble. Who can chip in to help get him to safety? Okay. And This Bird Can Fly is a permanent retiree with us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Well, obviously the website is accelerfund.org. So if you want to go on and get a little get a little misty, because the story of Ferdinand is plastered on the front page. It's really an incredibly, I don't know, it's an amazing story. It's a horrible story about Ferdinand, but it's an amazing story because what you guys have done in his honor, helping all the rest of these racehorses. So accelerfund.org. You can go on, you can look at adoptable horses, you can find out how to help, you can foster, you can donate, you can volunteer, whatever you can do to help all of these racehorses. And again, that's accelerfund.org.
Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. And yeah, go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say we really appreciate you being here, and thank you for all your efforts and everything you're doing to help the OTTBs find a nice, comfortable place. Anybody, any horse that's run till he was 16 years old, 161 races, needs to have a nice, quiet retirement in a pasture full of grass.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. We wish that all for all of them.
Well, thank you, Leslie. We really appreciate what you do.
Okay, thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
And give Rich and Dallas Seabiscuit a carrot from us here at the Horses
we will.
In the Morning. Oh, my gosh, he deserves one. Bless his heart. Bye.
Bye.
I think probably he's getting a few being down at that boys' home. I think he's probably being inundated in carrots right now.
Well, I just love the quote here at the end. Sorry, Glenn, I'll wrap this up. I just think it's such a cool story. And it says here at the bottom that, you know, Seabiscuit represents what the Tulsa Boys Home stands for, healing, overcoming adversity, and instilling a sense of hope. That's what the horse did for the entire nation. And on such a small, you know, on a small scale, he's at the Tulsa Boys Home helping them out. And I just think it's an amazing story. And Jennifer, thanks so much for getting her on. It was just, it's incredible. Acceler Fund.
Yeah, she was. I just think it's cool what they're doing, and they're based out of Lexington, I believe, here in Kentucky. But they're, as she said, they have they have outreach all over the East Coast and all over the place, really. Well, the song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines and worming and farrier and dentist visits, all together and easily accessible. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events that are coming up, like when your next farrier visit is due or when the next worming happens, and it'll remind you of that. You can find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com. I have to get a hold of her and see if they're still working on an Android version so we can use one, too, here. And, Jennifer, I wanted to say that Doc, our favorite dentist, Dr.
Yeah.
Tucker, said he's coming in May, so we'll have to make sure we get Beaker in to see the dentist.
Yay!
Our daily song today is Everything Right by Templeton Thompson. This is off of her new CD that she has out. So we haven't heard this one before. I don't think you have yet either, Jamie. So here is Everything Right by Templeton Thompson.
It's living life. It's a long road. It's a hard road. It's an open road. It's a journey full of endless possibilities. It ain't easy. Nothing's free. Good things come to those in need. And I believe, yeah, I believe. Where does that leave me? Should be there, but here I am, on the outside looking in. I'm not an angel, oh, I'll be grateful. I've been a good girl most of the time. I hope you hear me, I know you're busy, but I'm hanging on here with all of my might. I've tried so hard, but nothing's happened, just all my heart. That's okay, I am not afraid. I play the game, follow the rules, end up feeling like a fool. What's the use, oh, what's the use? What else can I do? The hardest thing is letting go, but it's out of my control. And I'm an angel, oh, I'll be grateful. I've been a good girl most of the time. I hope you hear me, I know you're busy, but I'm hanging.
Templeton Thompson. I love that new one. That's great. It is that's definitely a Monday morning kind of song. It's called Everything Right. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. I am Jamie Jennings, along with me, Glenn the Geek. And, dude, you picked a good song. I like that one.
I know. That was a good one. I she has a lot of good ones on that new CD of hers. And you can, of course, go to her website at templetonthompson.com and find that. and purchase it. We'd appreciate it if you would support the entertainers that we work with. And, of course, we got to remind everybody that this Friday we have a special musical episode with your old-time pal.
Yes, the Lindsay Rakers is going to be on with us. And we play some of her awesome music. And the only part, you know, that Glenn's favorite part of the show is when we talked about our former lives as single girls out in the city of Atlanta playing guitar in bars. Because that definitely got a little interesting at times. So if you want a little bit of the dirt and a little backstory on Lindsay and I, then maybe you should listen. I will not let my husband listen. He needs to know that I
no,
was completely innocent.
No, you probably shouldn't because, you know, there was some discussion. Well, you know, you can hear it on Friday when we play that show. But, you know, this is, apparently Lindsay and Jamie all both dated the same guy at one point. So you'll hear about that as well.
She told me to.
Hey, did you see Alan's comment, our host of the Western Radio Show? I posted the picture of the little tiny miniature horse hoof on Facebook there. And he wrote, "Oh, dang, what a letdown. Thought you had obtained your laptop giraffe." That would be
that
Friday.
That is hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Because that is true. That is, and it's a miniature lap giraffe, Alan, so get it right, because I'm on the waiting list right now for the tiny lap giraffe, my TLG. And you can find that at, what was the website for that? I can't even remember.
I can't remember
just
either.
Just Google tiny lap giraffe, and you will find your... You can sign up on the waiting list for the tiny lap giraffe from the commercials, what is it, the cable Comcast or digital cable or whatever commercials. But yes, that is that'd be a lot cooler. And
well,
I did laugh too about the roll call. You posted a roll call. Who's going to Rolex this year? And you know, we wanted to do a little bit of a get together. And I'm reading down the list, and Patricia and Mary and Barbara, they're all coming. And then you see Chris's post. Chris Stafford, sorry, but I'll be out of town that week. Chris is actually doing the Eventing Radio Show live from Rolex, so she had me for a second there.
And, of course, our friends over at Riders for Helmets will be there. They're going to be sharing a booth with the USEF to promote helmet awareness, so they'll be over there. And, you know, it looks like people are thinking that that might be a good idea. I'm going to try and find out how many more we can rustle up here and we'll consider putting a little get together maybe Sunday morning, because that's the morning everybody sort of gets there. The show doesn't really start to what a little later, early afternoon. So everybody goes shopping on Sunday morning. Maybe we can pick an hour and have a lunch together or something on Sunday. We'll work on putting that together. Hey, before we get to our new segment, our weekend roundup, there is somebody on the line that we need to talk to. And I think, Alan, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Alan, this is Alan from the Western Radio Show. Alan, I got a bone to pick with you. You see, Alan, I still edit the shows that go out here at the Horse Radio Network. So I edit the Western Radio Show, and he sent it over last night. It was real good, got it to me early this week. He and Tammy are on the ball. And then I listened to the beginning of the show, and I'm going, she's just getting over the Oompa Loompa thing, Alan, and now you have to bring it up again on your show.
I was telling Tammy, because Tammy didn't know, and I knew that Tammy would feel Jamie's pain. I mean, you know, because Tammy has such a wonderful co-host that never picks on her about anything, and just somehow or another, you always end up chewing on your foot about something with the ladies.
I know. But then you had to go and rub it in. He spent a whole 10 minutes talking about the Oompa Loompa thing. Now, Alan, because you embarrassed me again, you had a song that you sang at the beginning of the Western Radio Show going to come out this week about the Oompa Loompas, and it just proves what kind of musical ability you have. So please just share that song with Jamie.
Oh, well, it was, I don't know that I really, you know, you just had such a wonderful song a minute ago, and I just don't know if I could do it any justice with
sing it or pay.
Oh, I think you can sing it.
Sing it.
Yeah, Jamie might get mad at me again.
Let me just tell you, Alan, that there's no again, because I'm still mad. So it just might as well keep it going. It's okay. I was mad and then I stopped being mad and now I'm mad again. No, I've just been mad the whole time. So just let me back up and tell everybody, Alan, what the whole Oompa Loompa thing is, because we had a guy on the air and Glenn's like, oh, he's 6'4". Jamie, standing next to him, you'd look like an Oompa Loompa, which happens to be a rather short, fat worker at the Willy Wonka factory. And what happens then? Oh, somebody starts posting all these photos of Oompa Loompas on our website. Oh, wait, that was Alan. So both in the doghouse still. I don't even want to hear it.
They were on your Facebook. They were in one of the albums on your Facebook, the family photos of all your Oompa Loompa family. And...
You're an ass. Oh, my God.
and even found your Oompa Loompa puppy on there. I mean,
All right, Alan, sing the song.
Oompa Loompa doopity doo, I've got a big old horsey for you.
I'm glad you guys think this is funny. Keep it up.
It's not me. Glenn made me do it.
So yeah. This is on this week's Western Radio Show. Dear God, I wish that was a live show so I could do a call-in. You're scared. That's what it is.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll just let you come on there one time and vent your frustrations or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm open to that.
I need to talk to Tammy.
I just don't know that we have a hole any time before 2015. I mean, you know.
All booked up, huh?
Oh, but you just wait. One of these days, Glenn's going to be sick or he's going to get to go out of town and do something. I mean, you know, he might get to go to Vegas one of these days with take a weekend off, and then I'm going to have to fill in for Glenn.
No, we have other people for that. We've got plenty of other people who can fill in for Glenn. Don't you worry about it. You just go ahead and you go on and have your time in Vegas because we don't need you.
Well, but see, the thing is, there's not another male co-host anywhere that can do that deal.
Let me see here. Let me look online, see if I can find
somebody.
You know,
we should have done that on April Fool's Day, Alan. I should have just told her I wasn't, you know, and not even told her, and then you showed up and done the show. We missed our opportunity on April Fool's Day. You realize that, don't you?
I don't know if she would have been able to speak a cognitive word the whole time.
Why? Because I would just been in such awe of greatness. Oh, my God. Look, I'm so lucky.
No, she's just been so ill all the time. God, I can't believe I got to work with this guy.
Well, Alan, before I lose my co-host, I'm going to say goodbye. And the Western Radio Show will be out tomorrow. You spoke with a legend in the horse world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Al Dunning. And we find out a little bit about Team AD and how he can help you out with some, without having to go to one of his clinics. He's got a new program where you can send in some videos and he can give you his reactions to what you may need to do, may not need to do, and it's really a cool deal. You can find out all about it this week, and I guess you'll get that on sometime tomorrow and even hear another rendition of the Oompa Loompa song, especially for Jamie.
Oh, you're so sweet, Alan. You know, Tammy is such a lucky girl to be able to work with you every week. I don't know how she can stand it. I don't know how she does it, but bless her heart.
Well, the one saving grace to that is with Tammy being a world champion shooter, a mounted shooter, is the fact that there's probably around 960 miles between where she records and I record. I'm in South Carolina. She's in Texas. And I just feel like somehow or another there may be a round fired off at some time or another during what we do.
Thanks, Alan. We'll see you.
Bye. Bye.
It's time for our new segment.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
And the weekend roundup is a time when Jamie and I get together every week on Mondays at 10 o'clock and talk about all the news that piled up over the weekend and jibber-jabber a bit about it. The first is there's another real contender coming on for the Kentucky Derby, and that's Dialed In.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he won the Florida Derby and apparently came from behind and made a mad dash to the finish. And that's his style, apparently. So he has, Dowden now has 3 wins in 4 career starts with earnings of $879,000. So not too bad. This is one of Nick Zito's, isn't it?
Yeah, the purse for the Florida Derby was $1 million. I mean, that's crazy. So the winner gets $600,000 of that. So when you say he won $800,000, $600,000 of that was from this past weekend. That's crazy. So, yeah, he's got 3 wins and 4 starts. He's going to join the ranks of, you know, Mucho Macho Man and Uncle Mo and to be one of those kind of favorites. So I did think that it was pretty interesting this weekend that the horse that was coming, you know, that he came from behind, Shackleford, who was in the lead, was literally 60-something to 1 to win the race. Can you imagine if you'd have bet on that horse and you're like, he's going to win, he's going to win, he's going to win. Wait. Dialed In just came by at the very end and beat him. That sucks.
I know. 60-1. You imagine what that would have paid? You know, one of the things, you think Nick Zito would, you know, this has got to be old hat. He's been around forever. He's had so many wins and everything. But one thing in the article that I thought was interesting is it says Zito was a bundle of nerves in the paddock before racing, fidgeting awkwardly and taking deep breaths as Dialed In made his way around the ring. Those butterflies likely didn't disappoint as race's opening moments when Shackleford, you know, basically took the lead, and Dialed In was 10 lengths off the pace. So, and it was with 3 furlongs left to run that Dialed In made his move. I'll have to see if I can find that race call. That'd be a good race call to play tomorrow morning. So,
Dialed In, another
one to watch for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of horses that work for a living, there's a police horse named Roy who is a 14-year veteran. He has had a very celebrated career in Maryland. Roy, whose former name is Sundancer Royal, came to the police department in Maryland at the age of 4. So 10 years he has been on the police force. He has served as the lead horse to train new police horse, mounted officers. He's done search and rescue. He has done just everything. I mean, he has been deployed to these scenes. He has chased down criminals. He's just been an amazing part of the police force. And I know they're going to miss him because Roy, the 14-year-old police veteran, is retiring from his patrol duties in Maryland. And as for Roy's replacement, they have 5 horses that are now going to replace him. So it took 5 to replace 1. And we definitely wish Roy well. He's going to be spending some time on a retirement farm in Western Maryland.
Well, and speaking of farms, you know, I like to keep an eye out for the places that are just a little bit extraordinary, the places that you really want to take a look at if you won the lottery. You know, you're going to need a nice farm if you win the lottery. Well, I found one for you. This one's in Las Vegas. You know, Alan just talked about Las Vegas. Well, this is a Las Vegas estate, and they've cut the price by a third. It's now very affordable. It was listed at 37.5. Yeah, it's on sale. $37.5 million was the previous listing. They're now asking only $25 million. And it had been marketed at one point at $60 million. It's located 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip. It was built for Prince Geoffrey one of the princes over there in Brunei. It spans a whopping, are you ready for this, 11 acres. It has 73,000 square feet of living space spread across 8 buildings. 18 bedrooms, 36 bathrooms. What, you know, I go to the store and I buy the packs of toilet paper and I think I'm getting a big pack of toilet paper because we have 2 bathrooms and I hate to keep running out of toilet paper. How many packs of toilet paper do you got to buy for 36 bathrooms? So 36 bathrooms, multiple master suites, a sushi bar, and a discotheque. By the way, I was just going to text out like 20 years ago. The grounds include an equestrian center, a polo track, an 11-car garage. It's owned now by Eric Peterson, a real estate investor who was president of the Consumer Credit Counseling Services. I wonder if he needs them now. And he, Peterson said he paid $14 million for the property in 2004 and said he spent roughly $20 million completing construction in the never-lived-in home. So the guy that started it never lived in it. And he says,
wow.
This is his quote, he says, "I'm losing my patooey on it." So there you go.
Patootie.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my gosh. $25 million. Oh, it's phenomenal. That doesn't even look real. So, and I've been to Vegas. How have I missed this? I'm going to go find it. I'm going to stalk it.
Yeah.
I
don't know how many horses you're going to put on 11 acres in the middle of the desert, but with a house, by the way, that means the house covers an acre and a half. That's the house.
That's crazy. Crazy, crazy. Wow. Well, the next story is... I found all these stories about these brave animals, and this one is a story about a donkey. A British donkey is receiving an award for bravery for intervening to save her mate, Stanley, from a dog attack. Now, Stanley was out and was being savagely attacked by a dog, and the donkey, Dottie, gallops down the road and jumps in between the dog and Stanley and saves Stanley's life. Stanley is a sheep. Stanley is not a person. But as a result of the attack, a terrified Stanley the sheep lost two teeth and now suffers from facial paralysis. Bless his little heart. But Stanley is now fully recovered and is never far from his rescuer, the donkey, Dottie. Dottie the donkey, Stanley the sheep. They get an award for bravery, and now they live happily ever after in a field in England. I love that story.
Dottie intervened and pinned the dog to the ground. This is one tough little donkey.
Well, that's why they use donkeys in the field. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. I've always heard that that happens, that, you know, when you go down through Ocala, per se, when you're driving down on the freeway, you'll see a bunch of thoroughbred racehorses and a donkey. And they have figured out down there that if a coyote comes into the field, the donkey is supposed to protect its herd. And so that's why you always see, like, not always, but a lot of times you'll see a donkey turned out with horses. I didn't know that they protected sheep as well. So, but apparently Dottie the donkey from Scarborough is going to receive a coveted bravery award from the PDSA, which is the... on some British thing about the people's dispensary for sick animals after galloping in to save Stanley's sheep who was being savagely attacked by a dog.
I think, personally, Dottie the donkey should get another award for having a cool name. That's a cool Dottie the donkey. Hey, speaking of lots of horses that needed saving, you remember we talked on Friday about the sale of the 829 horses that were part of that roundup in Montana, in Billings, Montana, when they were going to have the auction over the weekend. Well, they did have the auction, and apparently a lot of people showed up. 1,000 people from around the world showed up, and there were about 300 buyers that put bids in, and they bought the horses, and it looks like most of the horses are being taken out right now, have been bought. The bidding began at, there were two full days of bidding. Most of them went for $300 to $500, and a couple of the higher-priced ones actually went for $800 to $1,000. So, apparently a lot of ranches from around the country showed up for looking for ranch horses and took, 10, 12, 15 of them home to their ranches. So I think that everybody was very happy with how it went, and it was put together at such short notice that they weren't quite sure. There was a little confusion. Apparently, some of the pens were mixed up, and people were trying to figure out which horse they bought. But that all got resolved, and they got their horses loaded up. And 829 quarter horses are now heading to new homes, and hopefully some work that they'll enjoy, and they'll be fed on a regular basis. So good job to the tribe out there as well. Which tribe was it? It was the
Crow.
The Crow. Yep, they're the ones that actually rounded them up and kept them and kept them getting fed too. So that's good.
It's good. It's kind of, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation. And the reason all these horses were being auctioned is because they were on a Crow reservation wandering around starving because the guy who owns the ranch just, like, let it go, I guess. He went bankrupt and left like 800 and something horses. Of course, they're pregnant and they're in foal and they're dropping babies left and right. So then you've got all these horses in the snow in Montana that are starving to death. So people came in, they saved it, and then the Crow tribe rounded them all up and ran them to the sale. So I hope some horses found some good homes.
I was just going to say, apparently one of the things that attracted a lot of the buyers to it is a lot of these horses were foundation-bred quarter horses. So it was a place where they could come and pick up some foundation-bred quarter horses all in one place. So that was one of the reasons they attracted some attention.
Well, my final story is out of South Carolina. And it's actually not a horse story because all horse people own and love dogs. This is a dog story. And it's a really sweet story, and then I'll get to the details, and then we'll kind of pick it apart. But 22-month-old Tyler Jacobson wandered off into the dark woods surrounding his South Carolina home wearing only a T-shirt and a diaper. Apparently his mother and her boyfriend were watching TV, and he said he wanted to go get some juice. So he went out and went to get juice, but apparently walked straight out the front door in very cold temperatures and wandered off into the woods. So obviously they freak out, they call the police, they call the sheriff's department, and helicopters are using infrared rays to try to fly over this forest and find this kid, 22 months old. And they've got, like search and rescue, they've got helicopters, they've got all sorts of stuff. Apparently, the helicopter crew could not distinguish the child from deer and other animals because they were looking for a child in the woods alone. The boy was found the next morning completely fine because his black Labrador retriever went with him and kept him warm all night long. The child was cold but uninjured and survived a night of 30-something degree temperatures because his black lab stuck by him and took care of him all night long. Is that not the best story?
Wow, yeah, that is a good story.
Oh, my
wow.
God. And so the quotes were, I was thinking that the dog would watch over a baby in the movie. It's like a movie instead of real life. And they did say that apparently, they are sending these Department of Social Services to check out the place and make recommendations on how to take better care of a child. Because, you know, I mean, I guess it can happen to anybody where your kid walks outside and you're watching a movie and all of a sudden you're like, where's my baby? But I guess they are sending Child Protective Services out there just to make sure. But sounds like the boy's going to be okay because he has his black lab. They didn't even give us the name of the dog, but the dog saved his life.
Well, that was a neat story about a child. And I got to tell you, Jamie, I don't know what goes on in that state you live in Arizona, but remember we had a story a while back of a bouncy balloon gone airborne because of the gust of wind. You know those bouncy balloons that they rent for parties and the kids all go out and bounce around inside of it? Well, remember that one that it went airborne and landed on the neighbor's roof and the child was okay and it ended up in the hospital, but the child was okay. There was another one over the weekend in Arizona. Apparently got caught up in one of those dust devils you talked about, little miniature tornadoes. And went airborne with two children in it, dropped them in the middle of a highway, and the two kids were actually hurt, ended up in the hospital pretty banged up. But it was another story of another bouncy balloon gone airborne in Arizona. I don't know what it is with your bouncy balloons out there. They got to learn to tie them down or something. Maybe it's all that sand. They can't get the stakes to go in pretty far enough. But my final story of the day is probably the story everybody has been waiting for. And what caught my attention was the title. The Preakness, that'd be the second race in the Triple Crown, held in the slums of Baltimore and Maryland. Why are racetracks always in the worst part of town is my question. You know, the Churchill Downs is not in the best part of Louisville. Preakness is certainly not in a great part of Baltimore. You know, they just always seem to end up in these not good parts of the city. But anyway, this is the headline. The Preakness admits the only reason horse racing still exists is to drink beer. I know that's not what you expected, but apparently the Sport of Kings have now, it's now been downgraded to basically a drunken beer fest. And that's what it is on the infield of the Preakness every year. Well, they've decided that the infield need a mascot for Preakness. And the mascot's name, by the way, this is all a very disturbing story, and I apologize, but it was also kind of funny. The mascot's name is Kegasus. You got that right, Kegasus, like a beer keg. And their mascot is half horse, half man, with a prominent beer belly, being touted as part champion thoroughbred, part infield fan, and all party manimal. And he'll be featured in the Maryland Jockey Club's marketing campaign for the 136th running of the Preakness Stakes. Well, there you
Glenn.
Go. Kegasus exists to promote Infield Fest, a party being
Glenn.
Held in Preakness for racegoers on March the 21st. Yes?
Glenn, I don't think this is a real story, honey. I think you get had. You have no idea. It's like theonion.com or something like that. Those are fake news stories. There's not really a man that is half man, half horse with a beer belly that is going to represent the Preakness Stakes. It's just not going to happen. So I went on and I did research from this website that you found it from. It's called Business Insider. And
yeah.
I was looking, the top story is the seven most ridiculous things Donald Trump has said in the last 2 weeks. And underneath that, it says wear a designer logo to an interview and get offered a 9% higher salary. It goes on to say that if you want to get even a higher salary, to tattoo the logo onto your bare skin. So I'm pretty sure that this is not a real story at all.
Well, look. I think that if you can have petite lap giraffes, I can have a Kegasus. I think it's only fair that if you get to have a petite lap giraffe, I can have a Kegasus, or Preakness can have a Kegasus, actually.
You know what? That's fair. Okay, you can have your Kegasus. I'll have my petite lap giraffe, and we'll live happily ever after. Does that sound okay? You happy with
okay,
that?
Okay, that sounds good. By the way, it's $20 to get into the infield party at the Preakness. Just thought I'd bring that up.
Unless you're Kegasus, or you bring your own Kegasus, then you get in front
and
of
the And
they
have right? a Jürgermeister cornhole tournament, too, and a bikini contest and beach volleyball games. Just thought I'd bring it up.
Bless your little heart. You know what? At least my petite lap giraffe is real. Your Kegasus is fake. my petite lap giraffe is real, and I will have one. I am on the waiting list. Thank you very much.
Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network, RadioNetwork.com. And also, you can follow us on Facebook, just search for Horses in the Morning, and we are on Twitter at Horse Radio. And one other thing, I want to remind everybody that you can listen on your mobile phone at horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I. You can listen to the show live there.
There are on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss one. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern, and we'll make a little more sense tomorrow, I'm sure. Thank God it's not going to be Monday again. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day, and wear your helmet.